I call it a landlord's market. You know, you hear about a buyer's market or a seller's market. This is some weird minutia, but one of the things that often surprises my investors and certainly floored me when I moved here from St. Louis was that the absolute market norm here is that renters provide all their own appliances.
Welcome to the Passive Income Brothers podcast.
Here, we take the fear out of real estate investing using real-life stories of everyday successful investors.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Passive Income Brothers podcast. My name is Tim Lyons, and today I'm joined by two absolute rock stars, one of which being my sick brother, Greg. How are you doing today, buddy?
Tim, I appreciate the shout out. I have a bit of a man flu. I'm a little under the weather with a sniffle, but I was able to tough it out because we have a fantastic guest today. And we've always said there's a million different ways to make money in real estate. And what Liz is going to drop some knowledge on us today is just one more way. So I'm excited.
So, you know, when I first got started on this journey back in 2019, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad on the beach during a family vacation. Greg will tell you that he lost, I lost everybody for about 2 days. I closed the book. I turned to my wife and I said, Christina, I said, I am going to be a real estate investor. And she knows that I have these big, hairy, audacious dreams. And she just said, yeah, Tim, you know, go for it. And along the way, I didn't know where to start, right? I wanted to be in real estate. I didn't know how to get started. You know, there's all sorts of books and podcasts and commercial and residential and, you know, mobile home parks. And, you know, what do you do, right? And I came across, you know, I got into the books and the podcasts, and I came across Mid-South Home Buyers and a lovely woman named Liz Nowlin. And now today she's on our podcast. So Liz, welcome to the show.
Tim, Greg, I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you so much. Tim, as you've mentioned, we've been talking for a couple of years, and I'm excited to discuss all the cool and amazing and weird things that come with real estate with you guys.
Love it. So Liz, speaking of journeys, you know, we all have one, right? We all kind of, you know, got on the train at some point, you know, but why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about like, what was your backstory and how did you find your way into, you know, turnkey rental real estate?
Great question. So it's like a lot of things, it's kind of funny and not a straight line. You know, when you're a little kid and people say, what are you going to be when you grow up? So how often do we end up there? But I actually started as a front desk concierge at a high rise building that was so fancy and so expensive. I'm 43 now. I was 20 when I got that job. And like $5,000 penthouses, and this is again 20 years ago, $900 studios. I got promoted and promoted and promoted. Was a leasing agent, then an assistant property manager. At the time, I did a property management in St. Louis for about 10, 12 years. At the time that I left, I was managing about 500 units in the Central West End of St. Louis. And it's kind of funny, I was doing rentals during the entire housing boom, right? So some of these buildings had lower occupancies than they normally had, but it was because if you could fog a mirror, you could get a home loan. And then I transitioned to real estate in 2008, 2009. And it's a funny story. I actually wasn't intending to stay in Memphis at the time that I moved here. It was going to be a short-term thing for me. I took a job for Terry as a leasing agent, just went way down the scale. And it was actually just to kill time for a couple of months. And Terry looked at my resume and he looked up at me and he said, you're going to leave me. And I said, oh, no. You know, because he could tell that I was applying for something a lot less than what I'd done. And he said, well, maybe I'll figure out how to keep you. And I got him to 100% occupancy in 6 days. And after about 4 weeks, he used to do all the acquisitions, right? But then he hired somebody to help buy, and he actually used to do the repairs, right? One of the first people he hired was, you know, renovators and stuff. And when he hired me to begin working with our investors, that really pushed him from kind of working in the business to working on the business. And I absolutely fell in love with working for Mid-South Homebuyers, working with investors. one thing that is subtle, micro benefit of working with Mid-South, but it's really true, is that Terry creates an incredible place to work. And you may think, well, I'm in California, I'm in New York, why do I care? But I'm telling you that I worked here for 14 years. An investor's direct point of contact after they close has been with Naya, has been with us for 11 years. Our property manager, Matt, has been with us for 14 years. The turnkey is like getting married. The longer you own that home, the more money it is going to make you. And when you, when you're marrying a business with stable employees really matters. Through my years of doing this, I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, Liz, I'm investing with you guys. And you know, because you have this wait list, I'm going to invest, you know, over here in Kansas City or Florida kind of in the meantime, and I'm going to work with you and work with them. And then 3 or 4 years down the line, I get an email, Liz, where am I on your wait list? I've decided to just work with you guys. And then I say what happens, and I will hear, when Deborah, the property manager, was there for 2 years, everything was ginning, and then she left and they just haven't gotten their feet back under them. And so just having that experienced, happy person on the other end of the phone, whether it's your renter calling in and talking with an experienced leasing agent that's going to close that high quality renter that has a lot of choices about where they could live, down to the customer service you're getting on the property management side or during the purchase process. And so that's kind of my fun nonlinear journey into it, and didn't move to Memphis to stay. And now I've been here 14 years and own a decent amount of houses here.
you know, it's so interesting. You know, when we get, you know, either people we meet or places we go to that turn into these long term things, and we're having no intention of doing what you've been doing for the last decade. To building a wonderful career. It's so cool. So Liz, you're in Memphis now, and I think this is going to be new to a lot of our listeners. Like, we have never had someone that did turnkey rentals on our podcast. So if you can, at a high level, we could dig into the details right after, but just give our listeners a little bit about what are turnkey rentals, what does that mean, and how do you make money doing it?
Love it. So turnkey means the whole thing is packaged together. So obviously you have all kinds of landlording, right? And maybe you buy a house and you live in it and you move out and you rent it out behind you, or you buy a house in your local market with a realtor, all sort of different ways to do it. But there's a ton of legwork and there is a ton of risk for the individual investor doing those things. On a side note, most people don't live in markets that support cash flow. We can kind of talk about what makes it, but even if you have a shot of doing it, it would only be in your local area. And most people, investors particularly, live in very high cost of living areas where the numbers just don't pencil out. What you get with turnkey is local experts in markets that are cash flow positive, that know the streets like the back of their hand, know the market norms, have skilled renovators, skilled repair people, and skilled property management. It is like, I always say, it's sort of like investing in the stock market, in the sense that you don't typically fly out and tour the business of the stock market, you know, the stock investment you're making, though. Actually, we love it when people come visit us down here. We can talk about that. That's always an option too. I will say, for example, 95% of our investors have never set foot in Memphis. The transaction is done often online, and then that money, that rent, is just coming to your bank account while you are hiking with your family, at the beach with your family, and you've got experts managing your investment. And so it's a great thing. And I will say, I buy my houses directly from the company. I do not get an employee discount. I pay the same purchase prices your listeners would pay. And I have my properties professionally managed by the company, also paying full price. If anybody could recreate that business model, it's me, right? I'm here locally. I have property management experience, and the value we offer is great enough that, it would cost me $130,000 to recreate from scratch a $120,000 Mid-South house, just because essentially we're buying in bulk. I would be paying one time for a water heater, one time for a new roof. You know, I would be paying an individual electrician. We have electricians on salary. And so I just love that the easier option is the more affordable option. That doesn't line up very often. But yeah, so broad strokes, turnkey is investing in real estate via experts that might not be in your hometown.
Liz, I love that explanation because, as all my listeners know, I love building out teams and processes. And, you know, if you're a high W-2 earner or even, you know, a decent W-2 earner, and you think that you can't be a real estate investor because you just don't have the capital, but you may not know that, you know, a place like Memphis exists. And Liz, what's the average, you know, home price right now that you're seeing?
Average $130,000. And that is... Yeah,
$130,000
property. Like that means new roof, new furnace, new HVAC, no deferred maintenance, new kitchen to cabinet. So that 130 is practically a brand new house. And that's going to be in a quality neighborhood that can attract a quality renter. Memphis is one of the most affordable, low cost of living cities that that is out there. And then with the great financing that's out there, you can walk into that for 20% down. Our actual cheapest house is about $104,000. So you're talking about $25,000 all in. So if you think about how many opportunities you have to be an accredited investor, which what is that? 500 in the bank, a million in the bank these days. I don't know what, but it's a great welcoming bar of entry to get into real estate.
No, and that's the greatest thing that I really liked about you guys. And, you know, because listen, at the end of the day, if, you know, I being from the greater New York City area, Liz, there's no $130,000 houses.
Could you get a parking spot for 130? I don't know.
Maybe a parking spot, you know, like, so there was a ton of limiting beliefs getting into the real estate game because I'm thinking that a single family home is $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. And how am I ever going to hit the 1% rule and get, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $7,000 a month in rent? It just didn't pencil out. Didn't make sense. Right. And the few people growing up I knew that did have rental real estate, they looked like geniuses 20, 30 years later, but they were probably losing money and a significant amount of money during the holding period because they were floating the note and they were probably paying for the, you know, the expenses and the deferred maintenance all out of pocket. Right. Because it wasn't a good cash flow market. Are there opportunities? Absolutely. There's opportunities everywhere if you can work hard enough and find them. But the value that Mid-South has is really going out and finding those maybe dilapidated houses or houses that have just fallen on some hard times, or there's a distressed seller or whatever it might be, taking that home, having the bulk. And I don't know if you mentioned that you buy in bulk, but they have a warehouse, at least one that I know of. And they buy all these materials. They stack them up on these huge, you know, shelves. And then they do the same exact turn on or renovation process on each of these homes. Right. So you can see how the scale can build. Right. The same cabinets, the same flooring, the same faucets, the same light fixtures. And then when something breaks, well, guess what? They don't have to go find a different part. Now it looks all, you know, I don't know what word I want to say. I can't even think right now. But, you know, they have the same part. They can go to the warehouse and go grab it, right? And they have people on salary, electricians, carpenters, roofers, right? And all these things make sense. And, you know, the turnkey model, you know, are you going to make the most amount of cash that you probably could on the cash on cash return? Maybe not. But are you having peace of mind? Are you having, you know, cash flow and tax benefits and, you know, 30-year fixed rate mortgages and with the tenant, you know, the real estate paying us in five ways? That's the value to me for Mid-South. Liz, how did I do summing some of that up for, you know, Mid-South homebuyers?
You knocked it out of the park.
Thank you.
The vertical integration that this particular turnkey model offers is very hard to replicate. Aside from the fact that, you know, Memphis is Forbes' number one cash flow market year over year, aside from the really fantastic landlord tenant law that both Tennessee and Arkansas offer, there's no other property management company that is going to have every component of your house already sitting on a shelf, let alone as you mentioned, that the in-house service technicians, the warranties that we put on the property, you know, if somebody is all of our investors love us, but my investors that are our biggest fans are my folks that have either done it in their local market or are doing it in their local market or have bought from other turnkey providers. And where that starts to pop up for them is how much we keep maintenance expenses down over the long term. I always say, if you bought two identical houses from us and you took one to a different property management company in Memphis, you would be floored by how the one you left with us outperformed its twin. Most property management companies, a third party standalone property management company, say you just buy a house and then you just hire someone, they don't really care if you are happy that you bought the house. It's a little bit different with us. We really want you to come back and buy more houses. We want you to refer your family and friends. And so all the way down to not monetizing maintenance. So there is no upcharge on our maintenance. Your listeners may not know this, but it is universal to upcharge maintenance in the property management company world. I have never encountered a property management company that did not. 10 to 15% is normal. There's nothing wrong with it. Folks got to make money. It is the standard. We, however, do not. So you're talking about a 15, 20 year hold where every drop of paint is passed on to you at what the property management company paid to buy that paint. The labor is sort of the labor. So for example, it would be years and years and years for your property to need an electrician, or your property may never need an electrician, but let's say it did. That charge to my investors today is $75 for the hour. And that's because that guy's on salary with us. Greg and Tim, if y'all have ever hired an electrician, if you paid $75 for the hour, give me that guy's number. Mm-hmm. And so all the way down to maintenance and vacancy are the biggest killers of return. And we are really able to mitigate that through a lot of that. You know, if a guy is working on my water heater on my house and he has to stop what he's doing and drive to Home Depot and wait in line and check out and drive back, I am billed for that time. That's how every repair works the world over. With us, everything's sitting on the shelf. We're now managing 4,500 houses. We're the oldest operating turnkey provider in the US. We've been in business for 23 years now. It just all kind of fits together and works really well for the long term.
You know, that's a really good point about property management. I mean, when you call anyone these days, there's always a trip charge, $85 here, you know, so it gets really expensive before anyone ever does any work. So, you know, this sounds, you know, interesting. So if I'm sitting here, I'm a listener going, oh, I may want to get into, you know, this rental real estate stuff and buy the house and stuff like that. How about this? You're in Memphis, you invest in Memphis, and some people have no idea about Memphis. I think the Memphis Grizzlies are there. I think there's a big FedEx headquarters, something like that, right? So if someone says, yes, I'm interested in Memphis, can you just give us the bullet point of they say they raise their hand, they have a call with you, and take us through the buying process? But let's start with why Memphis, and why should an investor be investing in Memphis?
Love that. So to kind of share how unusual these markets are, let me tell you guys that we have investors in 17 different countries around the world and all 50 states. I have Japanese investors that we work with solely through translators. I have Australian investors, French, English, Brazilian, Canada, you name it. It's not a coincidence that they are all coming here. In broad strokes, rents and mortgages or rents and home prices tend to correlate the nation over, right? So rents in New York, sky high. Rents in, purchase prices, sky high, no margin. You can buy a house in, some tiny town in Arkansas or Kansas for $40,000, but when it rents for $300,000, again, that correlation kills it. And what happens in Memphis is that our economic drivers are labor jobs, factory jobs, distribution jobs. Over 40% of our renters work in the distribution industry. As you mentioned, Greg, FedEx is internationally headquartered here. And that is a 200-year-old industry. Not FedEx, but distribution. So for example, before the Civil War, all cotton grown in the US came through Memphis. Today, all cotton grown in the US comes through Memphis. Talk about a stable industry. One thing I love about it as an investor myself is that, you know, you think about cities that have suffered from blight or have gone downhill, right? Maybe like Detroit comes to mind, all those wonderful parts of Detroit, where you have this big industry shift. There is no way that China or Mexico can ever be the cheaper way to get a package from New York to LA. Our geography has entrenched that industry here. If you look at a map of railroads, we are the third largest confluence of rail in the US. We have tons of renters that work in labor jobs for all of the rail around here, barges going up and down the Mississippi. And so what you have is well-paying blue-collar work. And what that does is we have really high renter demand that doesn't correlate to purchase demand in the local market. So it's one of the few places in the country where the rents are, as a standard, quite a bit higher than what your mortgage is going to be, or if you're a cash buyer, what that relationship between the rent and the price are. We are 53% of the Memphis population rents. We are, I believe, the 48th biggest city in the United States. So we're in the top 50 biggest cities in the United States, and over half our population rents. That's so unusual. It puts us in the 99th percentile for percentage of renters. It makes it almost, I call it a landlord's market. You know, you hear about a buyer's market or a seller's market. This is some weird minutia, but one of the things that often surprises my investors and certainly floored me when I moved here from St. Louis was that the absolute market norm here is that renters provide all their own appliances. As in most any renter that comes to us and applies with us, they're typically renting another single family home. That landlord asks them to provide their stove and their fridge. Every other landlord in town is not providing those things, which means our investors never have to repair appliances, never have to replace appliances. When I first moved here from St. Louis and started working for Terry, and he told me to remind the renters to bring their own appliances, I thought I was working for a lunatic. I was like, I'm going to get laughed off the phone. This man, I can never rent a house for this man. And then literally the first person I talked to, and I timidly kind of say this thing like, don't forget to bring your appliances. And she was like, oh yeah, of course. And she actually stopped and said, there's nothing in there, right? Because she already owned her stuff. And she, you know, she would have asked me to get it out. And when I say a landlord's market, you've got, you know, all these years of landlords sort of not having to compete with each other in ways that they do in other cities. So it really has evolved in a kind of a unique way. I've never seen a city where it's as common to rent a single family home here as well. I think in a lot of markets, if you're writing a check for rent, you have shared walls, right? You're in a quad or an apartment building or something like that. Most people locking the front door of a single family home own it.
There's a lot of pride of ownership with that too, right? Where you're in a single family home and it's, you know, brand new, basically from the roof down to the front door, basically. You know what, Liz, can you actually take us through, like, you know, the screening process? Because you guys are the property managers, you're the asset managers, you know, you have a whole team built out, you know, so how do you find those good renters? You know, it seems like there's a lot of them in Memphis to choose from. But I've heard you before, you guys have a pretty robust system to screen the tenants. And do you guys still have any like rental guarantees for a specific amount of time or anything like that? How does all that work?
Absolutely. So much to unpack there. You know, tenant quality is everything. Property management is everything. As my boss, as Terry will say, you can manage a marginal deal to success and you can manage a good deal right into the ground. Brick and mortar cannot write a check. Only a person can write a check. And it is the engine that makes it turn. I can say this, if a renter is approved with our property management company, Mid-South Best Rentals, they would get approved anywhere in town within the limits of their income. We have every box to be checked that everybody else has at about three that they don't. And so, obviously, so of course, you have to make at least three times the monthly rent. Of course, you have to have prior landlord history. And of course, we're going to verify that that income is, permanent and stable. With us, we're also going to do a criminal background check that has to be crystal clean, and minus maybe a traffic violation. I've seen property managements that do them, but only if it's like murder do they roll it out. I'm not joking. And but then the nuance to it, the nuance that comes from this level of experience, because you do see newbies in real estate getting burned because they think that because they've rented once or because they live in a home that they understand a little bit more about it, and they would not have that sort of hubris of thinking, oh, I'm going to invest in Coca-Cola because I understand how the soda manufacturing business works. And so some of that nuance that comes in, I think is really interesting. So I'll give you an example. Prior landlord history, right? That's what everybody requires. Let's say you're a renter and you lived at Oak Shores Apartments for 2 years. You left in good standing. You got your security deposit back. You went and lived with your mom for a year for whatever reason. You come apply with us. Everyone else in town will take your 2 years, good rental history from that place you rented at a year ago. One of our rules that nobody else has, and there's a lot of them, is that you have to have paid rent yesterday. We want to talk to the person you paid 3 weeks ago. Where does that rule come from? Well, being in business for 20 years, every time we ever had a renter fail to pay, fall off the books, not work out, we would go through that file and say, is there anything? Did we have a clue here that could have predicted this? Well, spoiler alert, sometimes when people haven't been paying a big bill and they go and take on a big bill that they haven't had a bill that size for a year, they struggle. And so that's just one another, sort of similar vein. Say you make three times the monthly rent as your income, but you've been splitting a house with three other guys. Your portion of that rent was $350 a month. You're applying for a single family home with us because you're tired of the roommates, and that rent is $1,400. Well, you are more than quadrupling a bill. We might tell that individual, we'll approve you for up to $900, but we're sorry, this $1,250 is too much compared to what you've been paying. Anybody else is just going to say income, rent, check. And so all of that is through decades, literally, of a learning curve and figuring it out as we go. And we just put a lot into it.
Yeah, it comes from experience, right? And that experience is not from having one single family or one duplex. It's from years and multiple properties managing. It's a lot goes into it, and you've seen it all, it sounds like. Tim asked this a little bit earlier, but your company is kind of unique because of the guarantees that you have. Bumper to
Yes.
bumper warranties, 90-day life, 90-day lifetime, 1 year refill, cash flow after close. If you just kind of walk us through all the different guarantees that Mid-South Homebuyers has, because that is pretty unique.
I love it. Thank you for doing that too. There's so much to unpack with all of
Yeah.
that. Y'all keep me on track. So our 90-day occupancy guarantee is a lifetime occupancy guarantee. It is written to our management agreement. There's no expiration. And it says essentially that if we ever could not find a renter for your home, renter A moves out, we start marketing it. If we don't have someone, not a deposit taken, if we don't have someone moved in and writing you checks by 90 days, we start paying you market rent, not a loan, not a, just free and clear yours until the day we get that person into the home. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. It's never cost us a penny. It's easy for us to say, yet you will not find another company that will put it on paper. Our longest vacancy record, 65, maybe 75 days on the far end. I will say that probably 30% of my investors that I talk to that have managed properties in other areas have experienced a 90-day long vacancy or longer. Well, why do I put it in writing when it's not really something people are experiencing? It's a way of letting people know that our rents are real. And let me explain what that means. One of the places the bodies are buried, so to speak, in the turnkey industry is inflated rents to support a higher purchase price. And you'd be shocked at the relationship. $25 in rent on a finance purchase is going to equal about $4,000 in purchase price. Spread out over that 30-year loan, that's going to bump your mortgage up about 25. So you just need 25 more in rent. So think about the carrot in front of the average turnkey seller's nose. Let's get $1,025 for this house and sell it for a couple grand more instead of $1,000. It can be particularly with investors being from much higher cost of living areas, someone from New York could never know that $1,050 is too much for this house in Memphis because it would rent for $3,000 where they're from. And so they pay a purchase price associated with a certain return. For all, in reality, perhaps that turnkey provider held it vacant for 4 months to get someone willing to pay above market, whether they're from out of town or maybe their credit's a little weaker, something like that. And then the 1 year passes, that person's going to move out and you have a long vacancy and they suggest you drop your rent. Our rents, even though it means we sell the houses for a little bit less because to rent them at the most competitive rent and still make sure it's an attractive that my phone rings with someone wanting to buy the house, it does mean we have to price them a little bit less, but we're recouping that with repeat buyers coming back and referring their friends. And frankly, valuable properties are easier to manage. You know, if you get a choice of two identical cell phone plans and one of them is all of $3 cheaper, you're gonna pick the cheaper one. And so our business model is to have Mrs. Smith in a slightly nicer house than her neighbors and friends, paying maybe $5 a month less. And that's all it takes to make the phone ring off the hook, make us have a big pool of applicants to choose from. And so the reality is that 90-day occupancy guarantee is letting your listeners, my investors know these rents are real. These rents attract quality renters. These rents give you high occupancy. And in a way that is us bringing our expertise to you as well. A first-time investor is going to think that they should go for the highest rent that they possibly can. And seasoned landlords will tell you, you shouldn't. You should be competitive. You should provide value. And that will actually make you the most money.
So Liz, we talk about all the time on this podcast about, you know, education is the first step, right? You have to read the books, go to the conferences, you know, listen to the podcast like this, get on the phone with Liz and talk about this, because if you don't know, if you don't have the education, you're going to make poor choices, right? And you might go with another turnkey provider that promises you the world and it doesn't work out. And then you're going to say real estate stinks. And then you're going to go back to your comfort zone. But if you have the education and you take the action associated with that education, that's going to lead to your success. And that's why I'm so grateful that we had a chance to have you on the podcast today, because, you know, being from the greater New York City area, I know tons of people. They want to be involved in real estate. They just don't have the time. They don't have the, you know, the minutiae, right? The 1,050 versus 1,025 and the world of difference that could make, right? And how do you know how to, you know, start building a team from scratch? You know, good luck trying to find a contractor that's going to be loyal to you when you're, you know, 2,000 miles away. So that's why, you know, I was a fan of you guys. I never ended up pulling the trigger because there was a waiting list and I got impatient, Liz. And I went out and bought a 3-family property closer to my house, and I managed, and I actually ended up selling that after 2 years. Doubling my money, of course, but I finally had that education and that real world experience. But, you know, before we jump into the last three questions, just give us an idea. Who is your ideal investor? Like, who do you talk to the most on the phone?
Man, that's I love everybody.
You're a lover. I get it.
It's true. You know, I don't. The thing is, I have very sophisticated and wealthy people that invest with us because we offer one of the highest returns on investment. So when I say that I love helping first-time investors, I don't want people to think that we are some sort of starter investment. I work with some of the most sophisticated investors in the world, but I also absolutely work with people making their first home purchase in life. One of my favorite sets of people to help is, I have folks that are renting in Manhattan, they will it's going to be, and they're 27, right? And it's just not within reach, or they're renting in Santa Monica. And so not only are they not familiar with investment real estate, they've not even bought a house to live in yet. So they have some kind of rudimentary questions. And, you know, I've made it my business to know the best lenders coast to coast for interest rates and closing costs, the best landlord insurance policy that is on the planet for coverage, you know, all of this kind of stuff. You've got the full 1 year warranty, right? On top for the maintenance, right? You've got a bumper to bumper, as we joke, 1 year warranty on the house. That is the longest maintenance warranty in the industry. Most people are zero, some are 90 days. And so some of just the protections that we offer, and helping people get into real estate when they're locked out of it in their home market is, kind of a personal, so if you have 12 houses, still call, but, for those that it's their first, no question, too big or too small, we're here to help.
Love it.
Yeah. And then really last question, how long do investors typically keep their homes? Is this a buy and hold, or is this a buy and flip? Like, what are your average investors holding the homes for?
Great question. I mean, everybody is holding on to what they got and trying to get more. The longer you own it, the more money you will make. I have one investor that buys a home for every kid at the in the year of their birth, which I think is really neat. And they will be theirs when they're 18 to sell, refinance, whatever. I hold on to all mine. You could, there's people standing in line for these houses. You could sell it for what you paid for it the day after you closed on it, but really putting that, the beautiful thing with real estate is time, you know, and just as the value of that home goes up, the value of the rent goes up, your principal and interest payment is fixed. But so I would say 15 years, but it actually feels longer. People just don't tend to sell.
I love it. Well, Liz, this has been a masterclass. We're actually going to have you back on at some point, because I have about 4,000 more questions to ask. And we didn't get there yet. So, the first of the questions that we ask people is, you know, a de facto mentor of ours is Jim Rohn, and he was a personal growth and development guy. And he said that a formal education will make you a living, and a self-education can make you a fortune. What does that quote mean to you?
Oh man, I think it's genius. My boss, who is my financial hero and guru, has told me that Terry's probably spent $200,000 on real estate boot camps, different educational programs, conferences. He talks about listening to books on CD, on headphones, sweating copper pipe under a house, trying to learn about real estate. Even the way that I organize my team and my employees and helping our investors, getting things done is a program. I can't remember the author's name, but Terry had done that educational course. He gave me those CDs. I now operate by the getting things done. I personally did not finish college, and I don't miss the liberal arts, the debt of the liberal arts degree I would have finished. I think folks can do so well pursuing their passions. But yeah, listening to podcasts like these and standing on the shoulders of giants is the way to go, in my opinion.
Well, Liz, I could tell that you were in the personal development space for a long time. If you are listening to things on CDs,
second only
to listening to them on tapes. So
I would toggle them down to Blockbuster, but yeah.
this is heartwarming for us. We like it. We like it. So second thought we have is you're at the cocktail party and you tell people what they do. I'm in real estate. And what do you say to the people that say investing in real estate is just too risky?
Oh man, Teddy Roosevelt? There's a president who said sort of well-managed real estate is the best risk-adjusted return in existence. To me, the stock market is so much closer to the casino. It's so much harder to understand what may be going on with the board of directors or something like that. But also, you can literally carry insurance on it. Your house burns to the ground, somebody is going to write you a check for the full value of it. I've never heard of anything that if my stock goes to a value of zero, anyone comes around and cuts me a check for it. You look at a graph of a 50-year timeline of real estate, 100-year timeline, there's one trend. Even you look at the Great Recession, which is really very unlikely to ever be repeated. And in 9 years, values are back where they were, and in 10, they're surpassed again. Mid-South actually was in business since 2001. So we actually were in business, right? And we had investors buying from us in 2005, 2006, 2007. Rents in Memphis never went backwards through the greatest recession since the Great Depression. That's untouchable to me. One of the things I love, we actually was talking about it, like when values were really high, when I, at the beginning of the podcast here, when values were really high and home prices values were just quadrupling, occupancies were a little harder because renters were going that way. Well, when the recession hits, it strengthened the rental market. Talk about a bulletproof investment. When the economy goes down, that does not create homeowners, that creates renters. Harder to get your down payment together, easier to catch a little ding on your credit. And so we weathered the greatest recession since the Great Depression without our investors losing a dollar in cash flow. And by the time you would ever even kind of conceive of wanting to sell, your value was up. So that would be what I'd say.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know what? There's something that you touched on there was, a famous president. You know, it could have been 100 years ago. It could have been 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that real estate is an asset class that literally anybody can take part in, right? There's 1,000 ways to make money in real estate. It's something that I love too, right? You don't need a college degree, right? We don't need to be a rocket scientist. You just got to be educated and surround yourself with good teammates, and you can probably do pretty well in real estate. So I love that. Liz, the third question and final question is from Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, and he has had an effect on a lot of us in the real estate space, but he can say something that can turn people off, but I want to get your thoughts about it. He says that savers are losers and debtors are winners. What does that mean to you?
Never been truer than the runaway inflation that we have seen in the last couple of years. I was telling a good friend of mine that if our bank accounts were expressed as how much bacon could you buy with the amount of money that you had instead of dollars, people would be flooding the streets. People would be panicking because you would check your savings account every day and it would be less and less and less and less. And people are fooled by the fact that it's either staying the same or slightly growing because they are not connected enough to inflation. I think of my investment homes as brick piggy banks. And when I take cash that is just literally actually bleeding, right? Like even if you're in kind of a high yield savings account, it's not keeping up with what's going on today. And then I put it in my brick piggy bank where inflation is its best friend. And you literally take something that is bleeding you and take it and put it into something that is boosting you. And the debt aspect of it, as far as borrowing against that home, just makes a lot of sense. There's on our website on midsouthhomebuyers.com, you can go to the available properties and there's IRR as an internal rate of return, and you can just fiddle with it. And when you use other people's money, the return is better.
I love it. Greg, you know what? Part of being a podcast host that I didn't think I'd love, but I do, is hearing like certain ideas, like if you treated your bank account, like how much bacon can you buy? I mean, it's all about the bacon sometimes, Greg. You know what I'm saying?
In fact, I'm getting hungry right now.
Awesome. So Liz, I appreciate you. I appreciate your enthusiasm and your knowledge about this space. And, you know, just so we can satisfy and check the box for our compliance officer people, this is not a solicitation of an offer to sell or buy real estate. We're not making any offers right now. We're just simply giving you some education and letting you know some of the opportunities that are out there if you're willing to get educated and take that action in the turnkey rental space. So with that being said, Liz, if people want to find out more about Mid-South Home Buyers, if they want to hop on a call with you or somebody in your team, what's the best way for them to do so?
Fantastic question. So we are just midsouthhomebuyers.com. And actually, I truly want to help people, whether their interest is investing in their local market or anywhere else. There is a due diligence report on the homepage of our website. It says, stop, don't shop, don't invest with anyone, even us, until you've read this report. And it's 19 questions that you can ask any turnkey provider Even really a property manager, depending on what you're looking to do in any market. And it is going to help you suss out some of the sort of weak spots in investing as you're looking around. So I encourage folks to check that out. Almost anything you click on that website is going to lead you to me. I am just liz@midsouthhomebuyers.com, L-I-Z. And so I'd love to hear from folks. I set aside an hour for every phone call that I am going to get on. And again, whether it's your first or your 400th, I'm excited to talk to folks and help. Again, even if it's maybe your interest isn't necessarily here, we always want to help. So
love that. Well, Greg, that was a great one. I really appreciated the time from both you guys. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. And we look forward to serving you again next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. We would be grateful for your support of our podcast by giving our show a 5-star rating and review and subscribing to our show on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to take inspired action after listening to this show so that you can start building out your passive income streams. Finally, head on over to citysidecap.com to connect with us and find out more information about how to get started passively investing in real estate.